Here's a question for you. If a student takes a homework assignment and plugs it into ChatGPT to find an answer, is this considered cheating? Should this ChatGPT program be banned in schools? Today, let's begin to get into ChatGPT and uncover what it is, how it works, and how you can use it. Because the answer to the question as to whether or not this is considered cheating is that it isn't, you guys. And we need to adapt to new ways to learn so that this is so. Those who prevent that growth will stand to support the cheating side of this discussion. My name is Joe Colossi, and I'm your traveling principal, bringing to you weekly news on all things education on a global scale. I know today's topic might ruffle some feathers, and we're not going to waste any time getting into the waters here because I've seen the capabilities of GPT. And on this podcast today, we're talking about this from all angles. I want the listener to hear every aspect of this discussion before you give your opinion. Because without it, you're biased. And let's start with that. I mean, that is true, right? I've spent tons of time on GPT messing around with the capabilities and uses, talking to educators about how they do it and what they do, about students using it. So without further ado, my first question is, have you used it? And if you haven't, quiet down then. No need to ruffle your feathers without knowing what you're talking about. I dare you, if you haven't, to go on and try it. And begin to see what this is all about. Because you'll see that this is the same feeling we all got when we began to search the internet some 25 years ago. I mean, full transparency, I wasn't even allowed on AOL when I was a kid. We had a computer but didn't use AOL Instant Messenger. Then, eventually, I went to school and studied abroad in Italy, and instead of mailing letters and paying for phone cards, I sent emails home. I had an address with, I think it was like @excite.com or something. But it was free. And I had to convince my mom and dad that they could also have an email address and didn't have to pay for it. They thought that was like the internet. But they have come so far, you know. But using the internet was also always a way kids could cheat. I mean, there was always the ability to do that. And then once educators got a little savvy, but that took years or expensive programs to pay for to detect plagiarism from the internet, right? That took years. It was done, though. Stuff was stolen from the internet constantly, often. I mean, I was a classroom teacher from 99 to 2007, and during those years, the internet grew exponentially. iPhones came out, social media was born. I mean, think of the language capable of spreading information online. We're still learning how to handle misinformation as it's poured over us from everywhere. So now, in 2023, we're looking at AI through the best mission statement that I've seen to describe what ChatGPT does and how it works. And that's like this simple. ChatGPT is the wisdom of the internet. Take all that is published and all that is present online, and AI is able to have that as a brain and can actually, through algorithms, respond to questions that require the information available online to be used to create new information in the form of answers or suggestions to the questions that we ask. Understanding that GPT is not a search engine, though. You can ask it straightforward things, sure, which is what students do when they take their homework and plug it in to find an answer. GPT also stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer, but GPT sounds catchier. Questioning is the key, though, to all of this. Being a wordsmith will be necessary to fully utilize the essence of GPT. Here's what I mean, and I'm going to GPT right now, and I'm going to ask, what is the theme of mice and men. Okay. And so after some thought, I get here, as we scroll down, of Mice and Men, John Steinbeck, a classic novella set during the Great Depression in the 1930s. The storyline explains, and on we go. With body paragraph one, one major theme in of Mice and Men is the fragility of dreams, particularly the American dream. Now, reading that really quickly, you might say to yourself, all right, but, you know, we're ninth graders. That sounds like a professional wrote it, right? So let's do this. I'm going to put in here instead, write it as a 10th grade high school student would, and as a 5-paragraph essay. Okay. Of Mice and Men is a story written by John Steinbeck that takes place during the Great Depression in the 1930s, right? Like your classic, right to it. It tells us about two workers named Lenny and George and problems they face. This story has some big ideas or themes that we can learn from. We will talk about three of these. So that's funny, right? You're writing, and I like that. That's not that bad, right? In Of Mice and Men, the characters have dreams of a better life. George, so clearly the vocabulary seems to be more of a 10th grade level, the Lexile level, right? As a former English teacher, just scanning down through, there's a comprehensive 5-paragraph essay, nothing out of the ordinary. None of the points that I'm seeing are like astounding or creative, but points nonetheless, and that's what I'm asking for them to do. So, you know, that's GPT being used by a student to do their homework right there. So, can you say that that is cheating? Yeah, by taking and using the idea that is not yours, technically, it is, because it's not someone else's, but it is a conglomeration of actual saying from the internet, actual verbiage from the internet. So it is plagiarism, right? That is very black and white. But the question I have then is, so if it's obviously plagiarism, and the internet could also provide us with the same information, it's just all of this is available for free in the free version of GPT, which we'll talk about in a second as well, but then why are we asking a question that a kid can easily find the answer to as a means to an end of how we are delivering our instruction? I mean, take a step back and think about it. Are you saying GPT can give the kids the answers? Or are you saying that GPT can give the answers to the questions that we've been using for quite some time? And if so, the answers are not what we should be looking at anymore. The answers should be a part of a greater process at play. The answer to that question from Of Mice and Men is the product of thinking about what themes are and why. It's the product of understanding Of Mice and Men, and it's the product of a task that any kid without reading the book can go and find somewhere online just as easily with their iPhones, no less. But that product could lead to so much more now. Now, an idea of a theme is present. Have that kid go home and do ChatGPT themes. Heck, that can be done in 2 seconds, maybe in class if they all have their laptops out. But then, orally, as a class discussion, support yourself by giving examples from the book. I mean, we're working on the skill research. We're working on the skill then of communication. We're talking about the content. How about this question instead, English teacher? Homework for tonight. Use GPT to cite 5 examples of themes from Of Mice and Men. Then prepare an outline to discuss this in class tomorrow. Seems easy enough. But sure, if the kid didn't read it, they could do the homework. That's also an easy one to copy. But when they get to class, some can use it as a reference. But they can't read from it. If a kid didn't read the night before or at all, wouldn't they still be forced to process information from this text during this task? I mean, it does give them an advantage. It is a crutch. It doesn't substitute for the reading, but it supplants. I'd be asking them to research online and prepare an argument for discussion. They don't know what the argument is when they get to class, or the topic of discussion, rather. So they're going to now have a cheat sheet that they can use. For the kid who won't do that work without the ease of this task, for the kid who doesn't read, and for the kid who reads and wants to learn the highest elements of knowledge available within the text, differentiation here is extremely possible. You have a greater engagement with the text, and therefore the subject matter of themes as a whole became a part of that process. Student interactions with the executive functions of research, speaking, critical thinking, retelling, and organization are all evident within this process. Listen, technology is a technique. We just have to learn to use this one before we say what we think it is. Your questions that you ask must be specific. The more you front-load information regarding what you're looking for, the easier you will get the answer you are looking for. That more accurately reflects your ideal response. Try it. The art of asking questions will be the key here. And we don't teach kids how to ask questions. We teach them to find answers. And there is a common misconception. And why? When the information is so readily available now, we don't need to find answers anymore. They're everywhere. We need to learn how to use that to our advantage. We do that by refocusing on the process of learning and using GPT as a technique within. Another point I want to make here that's absolutely worth mentioning is the free version of GPT, I also believe, will help to make education more equally distributed to all. Of course, you can get the paid version. I think it's pricey, but I use it so much and am rarely not allowed in anymore. Rarely meaning I don't remember when I couldn't get in last. So I don't pay for it. I haven't. And I don't have a problem using it, and I'm on it like all day, every day. Recently reported was the education powerhouse Pearson, the publishing company Pearson, whose company Chegg is going under. They're not doing so well, and that's a homework helping program that is a paid version only. So anyone who can't afford it, sorry, no help for you. In comes GPT, and see ya. Now, we all have the same access to the same help, and I think that will resound. I'm sure of it. I mean, we use Google Classroom and Google Docs daily in schools, and AI is embedded into that, and we almost rely on it now. Everyone's wondering where Google's AI is. Well, we've been using it for years, guys. So, I mean, it's ingrained in all that we do. We don't even give it credit anymore. My final point is May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and in 2021, NPR reported that the White House states during the year of 2021, 44% of high school students reported persistent sadness and hopelessness. That same year, 13% of high school girls and 7% of high school boys attempted suicide. What the heck are we thinking? Not allowing kids access to artificial intelligence to learn and allow this to impact their lives as cell phones, the internet, heck, cars did for all of us. Sure, it needs to be regulated, and I'll quote a great friend of mine in saying everything in moderation. But also the innate evil that exists in people is tempted with the unknown potentials of what ifs, and that should be somehow kept in check or monitored at the very least. But this is, for me, a former teacher saying to you that if it's not thinking with you, if you aren't embracing AI, you're preventing that growth. You're preventing new creations in a kid the chance to use AI from when they are little and grow with it as a healthier, happier human being. Healthier and happier, you say? AI bots can interact now with humans in a counseling session that is an AI model with all psychology white papers ever posted, so a diagnostic and advice are literally textbook responses. A recent plugin allows users to speak directly to GPT, and it talks back in over 120 languages in perfect dialect as well. Learning languages will be super easy with GPT in the same way that we learn faster when we immerse ourselves in a culture where everyone speaks the language. Think about this. AI counselors available at all a time when we don't nearly have as many that we need. Look at those statistics. AI language teachers for our L students, as it will translate any document that we need to have translated. Try using it for emails. Try using it by taking an email from a parent that's about something you've been repeating all year and have GPT create an outline of a response. I said an outline, not the whole thing. You'll have to edit it, which means you'll need the skill of knowing grammar, the skill of comprehension, the skill of composition. You may not be doing it 100% on your own, but you can make AI a part of your process of learning, both for you and your students at your school. I recently came across CuraPod, a place where AI and teachers unite in planning and curriculum development. I mean, it's so worth it. So, is it plagiarism? Is really not the question we need to be asking. Is this a question or a task worth answering, or is this a question or a task a part of something greater? And if it is, but we're treating it like it's something more than that, we get hung up on GPT and see it as negative. Let's revisit this topic as we grow and learn it better in this rapid timeline within AI development. I hope I was able to get you to peel off a few layers from the GPT onion. My name is Joe Clossy. I am your traveling principal. If you have any questions, you want to follow up on this and keep this conversation going, email me at joe@travelprincipal.com. Thanks for listening.